Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Ideas are something that you and I, that's our currency, right? Like this yep. radio show is built on our ideas and what we think.
That's why it goes so well.
Sure. now, you and I have never run a business. Like had ideas for like businesses. Like I know you've always wanted to open a cafe.
Oh yeah, that's the dream.
I've always wanted to open up a private version of like Bean Squeeze.
Yeah.
Well, obviously they're doing so well around town. I just want to open my own coffee window. I don't drink coffee, but I want to.
Yeah.
What's that thing? Get money. Mm-hmm. And I think there'd be a lot
it
of money.
It seems like there
like
is
that.
A lot of money in Bean Squeeze. Yeah.
I've had an idea of a new type of restaurant. I want to pitch it to you to see if you think that this is something.
Thank you for coming to the restaurateur of the show.
I want to see, and if you're listening, don't steal this idea, please, because I think there could be something in it. It might need workshopping. So I've realized whenever I do big cook-ups, like on a Sunday or a Monday, as much as I like eating it on that night, I really enjoy eating the leftovers the following night, like heating up the leftovers and eating them for the second time.
You like giving the flavors time to marinate together.
They're just sitting there, whether it's in the Tupperware or however you store it, you know, like whether it's a spaghetti, like a curry or a stew, like it's just getting better. Before it gets bad, obviously, but it's just for that
like
24 hours.
In particular, curries and stir fries, like anything that has like a lot of sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, so much better the next day.
So what I'm thinking, I was like, can this idea be monetized? My idea is for a restaurant called Leftovers.
Amazing.
Right? So you cook it. The way it works is all the meals that you can order when you go in there are cooked the night before.
Yeah.
And the fun part is at every table, you have your own personal microwave. And when you order it on the menu, it'll be like, all right, you're ordering a spaghetti bolognese.
Do they bring it out in a Tupperware container?
They bring it out in like whatever container it is, the way, because obviously like it will probably need to be presented in a good-looking way. They bring it out, and it's like, all right, well, if you wanted spaghetti bolognese, it like next to it, it'll have like 38 seconds on
high. Oh, so it tells you how many,
It's got the instructions on how to heat it up perfectly. And that's the thing. Like, the chef will learn the perfect amount of time to reheat these foods. And then they come out, once it's been reheated, serve it up for you on your plate, serve it up on your dish. And that's the style of the restaurant.
I think you
it's
could go
gimmicky.
Like canteen style and just like have like a whole bunch of shelves where they're pre-packaged so you can see them like bento boxes in Japan.
Okay. Tim. I know that you've been to Japan, but most of us haven't.
So it's like essentially they're ready on
ready
the shelf,
to
ready to go.
Like a book at a library.
Exactly.
But it's
and
food.
Then you can, do I want a lasagna tay? Do I want a nice chicken curry?
But as much as I like that, everyone enjoys going to a restaurant, sitting down, having a look at the menu. And that's why I think like same with like the Korean barbecue places, you still look at the menu, get it ordered over. So I still like that interaction at the restaurant. But then, like you've got your own little microwave. And instead of just like the beep, 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 it's like a bit of a fun song potentially.
Yeah, sure.
Like good high quality microwaves. And then you eat it and it's going to taste better because it was made 24 hours.
My microwave goes when it finishes. Does.
That's got to be an expensive microwave.
It wasn't that expensive.
Okay. Because my currently.
It puts on a little show.
Currently, I have to use a fork to open the door of our microwave. Really got to get it in there. Do you think that the Leftovers as a restaurant, because like imagine it on Paco Street, like there's so many nice restaurants. Imagine Leftovers on Paco.
What if you run out of a certain food item? Are they going to whip it up for you and put it in a container or you have to wait?
You have to get, like the whole thing is it's like they've made like, I don't know, 50 spaghetti bolognese's. Like there's only 50 of those can be ordered at night because yes, technically they could make it that night and they will be for the following night, but that's not the point.
Sure.
It's not leftover. That's just a meal. That's just a cooked meal. And what I've...
Can you get takeaway from this place as well?
Yeah. I think that would be a good, like a takeaway window.
Yeah.
Like I don't want that riffraff coming into the nice...
Of course.
...la-di-da restaurant. So what I've organized, I wanted to pitch this idea to you so we could workshop it a bit. Tomorrow on the show, I have organized someone that does work in a very popular restaurant in town right now.
Oh.
Like really, really popular, that actually has started a restaurant before, and then we can be like, is this a good idea? Do you think, like, if you didn't own this restaurant or cook at this restaurant, would you invest in something
like this? I mean, you are risking giving your brilliant idea away.
Well, I'm just trusting this individual, and hopefully it's just like a conversation, like, if you, like, you're in the industry, is this something you could see getting up in Geelong?
I kind of like this.
All right, well, It's very, it's a, honestly,
I don't know that it will work, but I'm not a restaurateur.
I'm surprised we're able to get this person on the show tomorrow. So, like, I've still just, I'm finalizing it, but we'll get, like, proper approval tomorrow.
Okay.
This is Tim and Jess.
On 52232955, I want to open the phones to a bit of a discussion. There's been a trend on TikTok at the moment. You'll probably see it on Reels in a couple of weeks.
Can't wait.
People's making lists of names that they would love to use that sound amazing as a kid's name if you didn't know the meaning behind that word.
Right. So it's like we would use the, I'll use the word like microphone.
Yeah.
If that wasn't
Mike
something.
For short.
Yeah. Like it's not something that you would. Like, say microphone had another name and microphone was actually a name.
Yeah.
Does it sound good?
Yeah.
Is that the trend?
That's it. So a lot of people are using, you know, making their lists of names they'd love to use if you didn't know the meaning behind the word. I thought maybe we could do that. I tasked you to write a couple of
three
names. Oh, amazing.
Okay.
Why don't we go one for one?
All right. I'll start.
Yep.
Simple one, fire.
Oh, fire's good for a boy or girl.
Let's keep it open.
Yeah.
I think fire, like spelled exactly as, like,
yeah.
I just think fire Brown.
That's really good.
Fire Thompson. I just think it's there. I think it's simple. It's no fuss. It's kind of like the Tom of that generation.
Absolutely.
You know?
I really like omelette for a girl.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now I see it. Little Omie.
Yeah. Omelette.
Well, I guess it kind of finishes like a net.
Yeah.
Omelette. Yeah, look, it's definitely...
It's cute, right? Yeah. If it didn't mean omelette, it's cute.
This one I'm not sold on. Hydration.
Oh, I like hydration.
Yeah.
Again, that could be
Heidi,
boy or girl.
Heidi is where I'm going mostly for the female name.
Hydration,
so hydration
is a great one, Tim. Yeah. You're good at this.
Thank you.
It's like you have a child or something. I like dyslexia.
I don't know what to say. like Lexi...
Yeah.
Dizzy. Yeah, sure, Jess. I wouldn't have brought that one into the to the field.
If you don't know that it's like it means dyslexia, like it sounds like a great name for a girl,
does.
Right?
So, yeah. My final one is politician.
Ooh. Polly for short.
Yeah. Tish.
Oh my God,
Tish. Tishy.
Politician works really well.
I feel like politician, again, could be used for any gender. Really getting out there. It's bold. It's like, oh yeah, politician amnesia Brown. Like, no?
52232955. Give us a call. Have you got a word that would sound really, really good as a baby name?
We are asking a lot.
If you just didn't know what the meaning was.
I mean, you could... If you wanted to, you could call us now and just look at things around you and say them at that point, because this is a, that's a tough ask. Like, I've had 3 hours to think of this.
Look, we may not get a call. We
to
may not.
Whip out the greatest suggestion of all time. Simone from Geelong West has given us a call. Simone, do you have a word that should be a name?
Well, I'm thinking grass.
Oh, grass is good.
I don't mind grass.
You know, there's rain, grass. I think it sounds great.
Sorry, I appreciate the call. I do not see the connection from rain to grass.
You know, nature, Tim.
Right.
Nature's a good one.
Nature
correct.
Nature could be a good name. Is that all you've got, Simone, or have you got anything else top of mind?
No, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, all right. And it's a winner, Simone. It's a winner.
And when they get older, it turns into hay bale.
Yeah.
Hay
is good.
Okay. All right, Anthea from Armstrong Creek. What's a word that should be a name?
Enema.
God.
You know, like Emma for short.
Yep.
Any.
Yeah.
Yep. Here's my sister, colonoscopy.
Yeah. That's not a bad one.
Connor. Short for Connor. Okay. Anthea. I don't think people are taking this serious.
I think people are coming up with some great names, Tim.
Mike from Highton, round this off for us. What is a word that you think should be a name?
My word that should be a name is substitute, or sub for short.
Yeah.
Substitute. I mean, it is.
Yeah, substitute.
It's very old English. Like, definitely, like, it's what William would be now to Will, and substitute for subs. Little subby. Yeah.
And when little subby goes to university and wants to put a bit of a, you know, modern day twist on it, it can be substitute day.
Oh yeah, a little French twist on it, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
Substitute day.
Three
it's good.
Of the loosest units have just called up.
It's a winner.
Their suggestions.
I love the people who listen to this show, Tim. I love them so much. Grass, enema. Substitute day.
Chuck them all in Tarago.
Jess and Tim. Oh, wait, sorry. It's Tim and Jess.
Will from the newsroom's come in here. He's the adjudicator, Jess, with what we've been doing this week.
Mm-hmm.
Can you refresh our memories of what is actually happening?
It's a news off.
Yeah.
And basically, you and I are testing our journalism skills because you believe I don't use my journalism degree. So you're trying to win my journalism degree through a series of events.
Because no offense, if you can have one, anyone can.
Wow.
It's currently held ransom on my desk.
I love
it. If I glanced, I could almost see it.
I can see it from here.
It is over there. So yesterday, Jess took out the weather report.
She did. Comprehensively, might I add.
Okay.
Thank you.
So Will is judging it because he's the actual journalist who does journalism.
Yes.
I would say. And today you've tasked us with doing the sports report. Actually, before we get into that, I'm not going to sing what I've been singing because I've been getting a lot of feedback.
Do it.
It's a news off. It's a news off. Twist my arm. It's a news off. A news off.
Hey.
It's a news off on the show.
The feedback that you got.
They're so good. So, Will, what makes, what are you going to be judging here, and how are you going to be judging the sports report?
In terms
that
of
we
sport,
do?
It needs to be, well, as always, it needs to be accurate, but you need to sound knowledgeable as well.
Sure.
Like you can read words that are accurate, but if it's not actually coming out as something that you know about,
don't understand it.
It doesn't really.
I feel like that's going to be my downfall.
Sport fans are hard to please.
All right.
If you slip up even the slightest, they'll be on you.
Mispronouncing names is probably the worst thing to do in a sports
Things
report.
Like that.
Okay.
You do need to show a bit of passion for what you're reading when it comes to sport.
Okay.
That sort of ties
we
in.
We all love sport in this room. So.
Absolutely.
But perhaps most importantly, and this is probably refers mostly to you, Tim, no bias.
No bias. No bias
at all.
No bias on this.
I don't want to be hearing things like the lids off at Essendon. At the hangar.
I'll change it then. I'll change it right now.
You need to report without emotion to your particular affiliations.
Okay. Who would you like to go first today?
Let's go with you today, Tim.
Okay. I've got it all set up so it's like it's going to be the real sports report.
Okay. Hit me.
Well, I'll hit me, actually.
I'll hit Will.
All right.
K-Rock Sport. Exceptional finance offers on Navara at Rex Corral Nissan.
Geelong midfielder. Damn it. Can I start again?
No.
I'm going to start again.
K-Rock Sport. Give your windows the edge with Geelong's experts. Blinds with an edge.
Geelong midfielder Tanner Bruin faces a fitness test on his shoulders ahead of his side's clash with Port Adelaide this Friday night at GMHBA Stadium. The midfielder copped a shoulder knock in the second quarter of Geelong's loss to Melbourne on Saturday night and was eventually subbed out of the game in the third quarter. Geelong coach Chris Scott said post-match it was contact injury for Bruin and that the Cats were eager to inject the substitute Gary Rowan into the game on Saturday night. Matildas and Sydney FC winger Courtney Vine says the A-League women has failed to take advantage of the runaway success of the 2023 Women's World Cup. Vine says the A-League women had not done enough to capitalise on the Women's World Cup and needs to more investment to keep top players in the league. This comes after a historic fifth title win for the Sky Blues after defeating Melbourne City in the A-League Women Grand Final. Both teams were on four titles heading into Saturday's clash at Amy Park in Melbourne, which took place in front of 7,671 fans. I'll be honest, it felt long.
Jesus Christ. I feel like I need to shorten mine now.
That was a lot.
It felt long.
I wanted to do two stories.
Pretty good. The crowd figure at the end. You don't have to be so specific with the crowd.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, around 7,000.
Will's crying. Wasn't that bad.
Okay. An insult to my trade.
All right. All right, Jess, are you ready?
Okay. If anyone's still listening after that.
K-Rock Sport. Exceptional finance offers on Navara at Rex Corral Nissan.
Demons coach Simon Goodwin has thrown his support behind the idea of a premiership rings being handed out to the AFL team members who are not recognised as they should be after grand finals. A prototype has been made that estimates the rings could cost approximately $50,000 each, setting the AFL back $2.2 million. Goodwin says he thinks it's a fantastic initiative and he thinks a lot of clubs and coaches would embrace it. Australian cricket star Jake Fraser-McGurk has etched his name into the record books just days after being overlooked for the national squad. In just his seventh IPL match, Fraser-McGurk raised 50 in 19 balls. He now has the most 50s in less than 20 balls with three.
Silence.
It's that bad.
This has really not gone well for either of us. Will's in tears. This is not good.
I want to build suspense a little bit, but it's like
you can hint towards it because it's like we're doing like gymnastics scores, so we're not going to know until Friday.
Yeah,
so.
But it's kind of a one horse race at the moment.
So tomorrow, some one person might have to really bring it home.
What does the cricket stuff mean? Because
she's got no idea what she was reading.
Fake it till you make it.
Okay, you just said you got to believe. I believe so hard that I made a mistake. All right, it's not going well. I'm sweating.
Can I start again?
I didn't want to do bad.
Next time I stuff up, I might do that.
Okay. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Learned something about your husband recently that it's just generally surprised me.
You said this makes me want to be friends with him a lot less.
I thought I liked your husband, and then after you got married, he's just it's like he's released his true self. And if you're listening, this might happen in your relationship, or maybe it doesn't. But I was looking to book myself a haircut online. That's how the barber that I use in East Geelong works. And I always like going with the same barber.
He's a great guy.
His name's Ben. He's an absolute superstar.
He does a good cut.
And I was looking. I was like, oh, man, like it's hard to – sometimes it's just with like work, it's hard to figure out a time where he's free because he's very popular. And you were like, oh, tell me about it. It's so hard finding one for Akshay, my husband. Like it's so hard. And I was like, what are you on the website for? Wouldn't – your husband book his own haircuts? And then this is in exactly this voice. You turned to me and said, I book all of his appointments. I'm his little secretary.
I stand by that.
And so again, I can't remember if I asked this when this was happening. So like he comes to you and he's like, oh, I've hurt my knee. I feel like I need to go to the physio.
Yeah.
You go, all right, I'll find you one. I'll look at our shared calendar. I'll figure out a time that works for you. I'll come back to you, confirm that, and then book it for you.
We will, you know, I'm, as his secretary, he'll be sitting next to me, and I'll go, oh, okay, so you want a haircut? When do you want to do it? And he'll say, oh, next Thursday. And I'll be like, cool, I'm on the website now. There's an 11 and a 1 p.m. available. Which would you like? And he'll say 11, and then I'll put all my details in.
Do they think you're booking for your child?
I have been asked before. Like, how old is your son? Oh, he's my husband.
He's 35.
He's my husband. Yeah,
that
actually is.
And that's like, that. You think that's totally healthy for him.
That's my job in the relationship. Like, he brings other things to the table. Like, he cleans the house and stuff, and I do the appointments.
No, he doesn't. you are the person that cleans the house. You do all the cooking. Surely
he takes the rubbish out.
Surely he's got the time to think, oh, I need a haircut.
He does. You know what? And then he goes, hey, Jess, can you book this for me?
I know that I don't respect you a lot, but yeah. I feel like I respect you. Like, you're not the booker of the show. Like, we take turns and responsibilities. I'm not like, oh, I want to get Gary Ablett on the show. Jess, make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Oh, you do sometimes.
No, sometimes I actually need you to do something. But not everything. Like, you don't work for me. We work together.
I don't work for my husband either.
You just called yourself his secretary. Do you hear what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think
you're better than this.
Yeah.
5-2-2-3-2-9-5-5. Do you make your partner's appointments? Like, is he scared to call the doctor?
It's not that he's scared to. He hates putting his phone number into things. He'll put my number down regardless of things. I get surprised when he's actually put something under his number.
That's wild.
And I think he just prefers me doing it for him. I just have for the last, like, what? It's coming up 6 years that we've been together. I reckon for the last 5 years I've probably done it.
Question.
Yeah.
Did his mum used to do this before you were around?
I don't know. I actually don't know. He lived out of home for like 8 years before we met.
And his hair was down to his ass at that point. Steve from Lara's given us a call on 52232955. Steve, do you book appointments for your partner or do they book them for you?
I book it for her because she goes, oh, English isn't my first language, babe, so can you do it for me? But the annoying thing is she busts in and I say, well, you might as well have called yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, right, okay.
What do you need to do it for?
Because the back and forth would be, I imagine, like if he changes his mind, then instead of just making the decision, then you've
it's
got
it. It's annoying. She just busts in, just like I just did to you, sorry.
Because it's, fair enough. Steve, and I understand, because you got to remember, Jess, like, you know how when we have meetings and they move last minute, and you go, what's going on here? That's like, your.
Tim gets it.
I just make calls. Like, if they're like, oh, would you prefer this or this, and I can't talk to him at the time, I'll book it, and then if he doesn't like it, I'll change it later.
Like a good girl. Do you hear what I'm saying? Like, do you see any light piercing through with what I'm putting
out
there?
It's just helpful. I'm being helpful.
Yeah, that doesn't sound very helpful.
This is Tim and Jess. The rag from krock.com.au. The latest news. The latest fashion. This is what's trending.
I mean, is it 2003 or is Paris Hilton trending in 2024 again?
What's she trending for?
I feel like Paris Hilton has really won over a lot of people who maybe didn't like how she was portrayed or portraying herself in the early 2000s.
Well, it turns out that was all like an act. It was a character that she puts on.
Pretty much. So everyone was like, oh, she seems so, like, she's not being smart. And I hate to use the D word. Like, she looks like she's dumb and all these things. Yeah. But she was like, oh, it was a telly show. I was playing a character and they just told us to lean into it. She's actually a very smart business person. She's making the news today. And what, because I'm super intrigued. Because I don't have...
Is this about her baby?
This is about her baby.
Yeah.
She made a video making a joke of her daughter, London, which again, Paris is the mum, London is the daughter.
So good.
Delicious. Her five-month-old daughter joking about, should I give my baby a spray tan? Because she obviously loves getting spray tans.
They were getting ready for an event, I believe.
Right, okay.
And she said, oh, I usually get a spray tan. I didn't realize I would look so dramatically different
to my daughter.
To my daughter, and now that I'm holding you, I'm wondering, could I have gotten my daughter a spray tan?
So people are like, is she joking? Whatever. That's not what I want to talk about specifically, because I have no experience with this.
Yeah.
At getting spray tans or knowing someone who has spray tans regularly. When was the first time you had a spray tan, Jess? How young were you?
Like, I was 4 years old. Yeah, I was 4. Sounds shocking, doesn't it? It wasn't a spray tan. It was like at one of those at home. It was worse. It was one of those at home like tans with the sponge. And like I came out orange. But it was for a dance competition.
I haven't spoken in 30 seconds. I am speechless. 4 years old.
It was a dance competition.
Can you do dancing at 4?
Yeah.
Wild.
Maybe I was 5.
And you just...
It was 4 or 5.
Was it your decision?
Well, I mean, I wanted to compete in the competition, and to compete, all of us had to look the same, so we all used the same orange bottle of spray, of tanning, like, stuff.
Okay.
And we literally put it on with, like, one of those sponges that you get for, like, to wash your car. My mum would cut it in half, and she would blot me with it.
The mid-90s were a wild
time. It was a time!
I had a feeling it could have been this answer. That's why I brought it, because... I don't think it's that on...
1998.
Right.
Would have been the first comp I did.
Okay,
I would have been 4.5, 5.
52232955. If you've given your child a tan or something, but younger than 4, love to hear
from you. It's the reason I stopped fake tanning for so long, Tim, because I was just... I'd been orange for so many years. So over it.
If you want to see that story and everything else is trending, go to our website, krock.com.au. 4 years old. Go to jail.
Goodbye. Oh, thanks, guys. You're the best.
Goodbye. Goodbye. That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.